Let's stand for a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for your loving kindness, your goodness to us this morning. Thank you for these men. Thank you for their willingness to sit in this Bible school, to take on the challenges that they are submitting to. And yes, the disciplines and the directions that they are receiving. Thank you, God. Oh, use it in their lives, Lord, in the many days ahead. Would you use it, Lord, to prepare them for whatever you have for them on this earth. Now, God, again this morning, we feel very inadequate to talk about you. I pray that you will help us. Pray that you will give anointing and revelation by the Spirit of God, that we may see God today in your word and your creation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Title of the message this morning, God, Omnipotent Creator. I'm going to attempt to cover two of God's attributes today. God is a creator, and God is omnipotent. The two go together quite well. You will see this as we go along in our lesson. In all that I've studied about the attributes of God, no one has listed God's creative qualities as an attribute. I'm not sure the reasons for that. It may be that my own shallow view of His attributes have caused me to take it up. But nevertheless, I have chosen to do so in these teachings, and I've chosen that for several reasons. Number one, because it is the first revelation of God and who He is to man. I mean, you open up the Bible and there it is. You've got a revelation of God on your hands that will take you the rest of your life to figure out. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Stop right there. Number two, God's holy character is stamped all over His creation. And therefore, I believe we need to take some time and look at God, our Creator. Number three, we will return to His creative abilities again and again in our study of God. As we look at many different attributes of God, many of them do not make sense if we do not grasp this first one, this first ability of God, God's ability to create something out of nothing. So we will be returning. And number four, it rightly sets the stage for all that we can learn about God. It leaves us utterly speechless when you think about the fact that we are studying God who created everything out of nothing. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If you won't believe this, and I first wrote when I was preparing, if you don't believe this, and I went back and deleted the word don't and put in the word won't. There's a big difference between don't and won't. And I do believe that if we don't believe Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, it is because we have willingly chosen We have not desired to retain God in our knowledge. And we won't believe Genesis 1:1. But if you won't believe this verse, you won't believe anything of substance at all in the Bible. If you won't believe this verse, you cannot be saved. Can I be so bold as to say that? You cannot be saved. And you will never go to heaven. The whole of the biblical revelation hangs on this one verse. Isn't that amazing how God can do that? He puts one verse in there. And the whole of the biblical revelation, which, by the way, the biblical revelation is a revelation of God. It all hangs on this one verse. If you don't believe this verse, if you don't believe this about God, everything else we're going to talk about makes no sense at all. None. But for me, I believe it. And my faith is simple. I have no problem with the creation scientists, but I have a caution. My faith is simple. I think they are doing a good work to reveal and challenge the atheists and the intellectuals. However, we must be careful lest we put our faith in their research and not in the simple declaration of the Word of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I go to many, many homes in my travels and I find creation research all over those houses. I find parents giving their children lots and lots of things to read about the creation research and all of that. And I'm not sure how much we should be doing that. In the beginning, God, the Almighty God, the all-powerful God, the Creator of heaven and earth, made this place where we live. And that revelation should be accepted by every believing heart without all the research that they've come up with in the last 100 years. I mean, how did God's people make it on for all these thousands of years before scientists got so smart that they could figure out a few things about God, our Creator? And again, I appreciate the work that they're doing in unveiling and challenging the atheists and worldly scientists and the intellectuals of this age. Let's not feed on that stuff, brethren. In the beginning, God. My faith is very simple. A look at a few words before we look at Genesis chapter 1, and you can turn there if you like, but just a couple of words. First, let's consider the word beginning. In the beginning. In the beginning of what? In the beginning of time. This is where time began. Remember, God is eternal. Time doesn't affect Him. But time affects us. And this Genesis account is a record that God has given to mankind about Himself so that we so graciously can receive and understand the world around us. Oh my, what a revelation it is when you stop and think about it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Open your eyes and walk around you. You can live off that revelation for the next 5 years and not get done seeing God. But, beginning. It is the beginning of time. Before this, there was no time. God made time for man. We have a beginning. This world has a beginning. But God, He has no beginning. Boy, that puts everything in its right perspective, doesn't it, brethren? We have a beginning. There was a time when we were not, and now we are. But God, He has no beginning. The next word I would like to look at in Genesis 1:1 is the word God. That word in the Hebrew is the word Elohim. Elohim, however you want to pronounce it. It is the plural form of God. Plural. It appears thousands of times in the Old Testament. In the beginning, God, plural, created. God, plural? Yes. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In the beginning, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, created. They were all there. That's what we see as we read the Scriptures. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." The Word was God. And the Bible says in Genesis 1:2, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." God was there. God the Father was there. God the Word, the Son was there. And God the Spirit was there. In the beginning, God, plural, Elohim, created. And now the word created. It literally means to make out of nothing. I like that. Oh, what a beautiful thing to say to creatures. You know, we're made in the image of God, and we like to create. We like to get our hands on things. We like to make things. It's part of the nature that God put in us to get our hands on something and make something. And it's beautiful that God has put that in us. But how wonderful it is for us who like to make things, and we think about creating things, but everything that we make, we have to make out of something. So God comes along and says, in the beginning, I created out of nothing. Well, that changes the perspective completely, doesn't it? It puts God in His place where He is, and it puts me in my place where I am. Yes, made in His image, but not totally like Him. He is so other than me. I make out of things. He makes out of nothing. The only true and living God can do that. And that validates His very person, if you believe it. If you believe it. Hebrews 11 says it this way so beautifully. I love it. "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God." Look at that. The worlds were framed by the Word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Beautiful. Now let's look at Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Now look at that creative display, brethren. Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. He made the atmosphere around this earth. And how did He make it? Let there be a firmament. And it was so. Brethren, this is the foundation of our study of God. This is the God we're studying about. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together under one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Just like that. Just picture that now. This great big ball called Earth. 25,000 miles around it. And in one moment, God speaks and divides the water from the land. Just like that. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called He seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth seed and herb yielding seed after his kind. That's where DNA started, by the way. After his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. 250,000 different species of vegetation was made in a moment. Just like that. Because our God had it in His heart that those things would come into being. And He spoke, and it was so. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now that's everything up there. I don't know if you ever realize it or not, but God made the earth first. And then all of that that's up there. You know, if you study the scientists too much, you'll get a little cocked on that whole thing. They put you out there so much, you start thinking out there was out there first, and this is just one little thing that's this little earth is just one little thing in the midst of all of that other out there. No, no, I'm sorry. That's not the way it is. God made the earth. And then He put all of that out there as a beautiful display of His creative abilities. And why is it there? So we can fly around out there and look at it all? No. He needs some light down here on this earth. We need some light down here. He spoke it into existence. And it's like a little footnote there. He made the stars also, you know. These days, you know, we got these big telescopes and we zoom in on these stars and all of a sudden these stars are like, whoa, this is the most wonderful, magnificent thing that we've ever seen. Oh, no, 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 you got it all wrong. He made the stars also. He spattered heaven with stars in a span. Oh, we need some lights up there for the earth. And you know, they're focusing in on some of them stars out there. And I mean, they're so excited about this stuff. The scientists, you know, they just jump up and down, you know, when they come in on another one. And they found stars out there, 5 or 6 galaxies, so many tens of thousands of light years away from us. They found them out there that you could put 3 million of our suns in one of those stars. And they look at that and think, wow, that's really something. Oh, no, no, no. He made the stars also. He just, I need a little light down here. Make things look beautiful. Something that will display my glory as man looks up from his earthly home and gazes up into the sky at night. Something that man can look at. He made the stars also. In a moment, brethren, in just a moment he did that. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. There's DNA again. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let fowl multiply in the earth. In the evening and the morning were the fifth day. 24,000 species of fish in a moment. And 9,000 different species of birds. In a moment. All with a different DNA. My, what a God we serve. And all in one speaking moment. We can't even fathom that. I mean, if we're going to sit down and try to figure out how to do it, it would take us years to figure out how to do it. Such intricate detail of different DNA so that one creature is not like another every time it is born. And God, oh, He speaks it into existence. Thousands of different species with different DNA all at one time. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. 1 million unique, specific species of animals God made in that. 950,000 different kinds of insects, 9,000 mammals, and 7,000 reptiles. God made them all just like that. And God said, let us. Now he's talking to someone else. Having a little communion there. Let us. Who is he talking to? It's the communion of the Godhead. Remember, this creation is a display of his power and of his eternal Godhead. Remember? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let us make man in our image. Look at that. Wow. It's just little words. Us and our. But oh my, what powerful words they are. After our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God, Elohim, plural, created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. He made all the animals vegetarians. Look at that. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. In the beginning, when time began, God, Elohim, God plural, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost created out of nothing all that which we just read. Do you believe it? In the depths of your hearts, I know we know it. Oh, we are a deceptive creature, us humans. We think because we know it, we believe it. There's a difference between knowing something and believing it in your heart. Do we believe it? Oh, to be like Adam and Eve. That glorious day when they opened their eyes and became. Oh, to be like them, to walk around looking at the world that God had made and the garden that God placed them in. Oh, to have a heart like Adam and Eve had that day when we walk around in this beautiful world which God created by His spoken word. Or maybe to be like that blind man whom Jesus opened his eyes, the one who was blind from birth. Imagine what life must have been like for him that first day after Jesus opened his eyes. I wonder how he looked at everything. Oh, how we saunter our way through this awesome created world that God made. How we saunter through it. How we take it for granted when this earth is full of the glory of God and it has His very imprint upon it, everything He made. Oh, that God would give us eyes like that blind man. They must have been caught up in the wonder and the excitement of all that God made. But let's go back even further than this. God, Elohim, plural, made the angels and the archangels. He made those creatures that we looked at here a couple of days ago there in Ezekiel chapter 1. God, Elohim, created them also. What about before that? I guess there was a time when God, Elohim, plural, was alone. But He made all those things. Turn to Colossians 1. Such a beautiful declaration of our Creator in the New Testament in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Look at that. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him all things consist. Do you see why we must begin our study of God by looking at God, the Creator? I mean, everything that we have, that we can look at, that we can relate to try to understand God, He made it all. And He's holding it all together this very day. He's holding it all together. Our God is a Creator. It is part of His nature to create, to form, down to fine details, or up to sizes that stagger you, like that sun that I talked about, or that star that I talked about, that 3,000 of our suns can fit into it. It is His very nature to create. He created the heavens and the earth, Genesis chapter 1. He made you and me, Psalm 139. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He made you and I. He continues to fill the earth with His creative power. It says in Psalm 104 that He lets the animals die and creates another one to fill the earth and replenish the earth. He's a Creator. He's not just a Creator back there 6,000 years ago. He's a Creator this very day. It's His nature to create. It's part of His attributes. He created you and me spiritually. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Amen. Born again. He's a Creator. You sit here today with a new life beating in your breast because God is a Creator. And if God wasn't a Creator, you would not be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. He's still creating today. And someday He will create for us a resurrected body. Glory! A body made like unto His glorious body, but a totally different body. I mean, it'll be a creation, I guarantee you. When you stand the old one up next to the new one, you will have to say again, God is a Creator. And someday He will create a new heaven and a new earth. Isaiah 65 verse 17 and 18 says, God says, Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind, but be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. Be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And that new one is going to be so glorious, so beautiful, so wonderful, so like nothing you've ever seen before, that you'll just forget about this old dusty earth that we look at today and think is beautiful. You just forget about it. God is a creator. All things that the eternal God hath made has His holy attributes written all over them. All over them. Remember our definition of the glory of God. All that God hath made is the outshining of His divine character. All that God hath made is the outshining of His divine character. Psalm 19 verse 1 says these words, "The heavens declare the glory of God." They show His holy character. They declare the glory of God. "And the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." God preaches a sermon to every man and woman on the face of the earth every single day. And it's in a language that every one of them can hear. We don't know. They have to do what they'll do with the sermons that they hear, but the sermons are coming every single day. That's what these verses say. And what is the sermon? It is the sermon that God is, and that He made this, and that He is a powerful God, and that He is a God filled with glorious attributes. And if you will open your eyes, you can see God in this creation that we live in. My own heart is convicted when I realize it. We walk around in this world and kick around in it like it's nothing. And it has God stamped all over it. All over it. Have you ever studied the book of Job? My brother was reading in Job this morning. Have you ever noticed how much Job and even his miserable friends knew about God? I mean, when I started studying the attributes of God, I found myself in Job repeatedly. Back to Job! Back to Job! Here I am in Job again! Yeah, I'm in Job again. Where did they learn all those things about God? Where did they learn all of those things about God? They had no Bible. Do you know? Yeah, the creation. So they had a book. We got a book. But they had a book too. How did they learn all of this? I'll tell you how. They were theology students. They studied God in the creation that He made. They were theology students. Everything that was made had the mark of its creator in it, and they studied the acts of God in the world they lived in, and they learned much. Do you want to learn about God? Slow down, oh you fast-paced Americans. Slow down. And look and listen and think. Psalm 104 verse 24 says, "O Lord, how manifold, many-folded
are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. Look at that. The earth is full of thy riches. Oh, how manifold are all these things that you've made. Now, if we're going to learn what kind of God God is, then God must teach us. We said something about that today. I want to just go a little bit deeper here this morning. How do we learn about God then? If it's all around us, how do we learn about God? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 will help us. If you'll turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 9 says these words, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now, if you just leave that verse by itself, you know, you just kind of say, okay, all right, it's true. I can't see it, can't know it, can't understand it. Someday, praise God, someday, we're going to see all the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. But the verse doesn't stop with that. It goes on. The Apostle Paul wisely goes on and says in verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us. Remember that word, revealed. Pulled back the veil. Uncovered. God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. God is the one who will teach us about Himself. He has given us three reference books to study. Three beautiful reference books to study. We are rich. He's given us three. Number one, He's given us the book of creation. That is the book that Job and his three friends studied. The book of creation is a book. And it's all around us. And in fact, it's before our eyes way more than what we could ever keep this book called the Bible before our eyes. It's before our eyes. But we move so fast. The book of creation. You can study God in the creation around you. You can study what God is like as you see how God works in the world around you. Number two, the written word, the Bible. I have it written. I don't know who said it. It might have been John Dee. But I have it written on the first page of my Bible, Genesis chapter 1. This Bible is the story of God's glory. It is a story about God. Read it to see God, to understand Him, to know His heart, and to know God Himself. Wow! God has given us a second reference book called the Bible. In this book is revealed the nature of God Almighty. And number three, He has given us the living Word. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the express image of the Father. You want to find out what God is like? You study the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Spirit, which His life was recorded in, and you will see the glory of God.
John said, we beheld His glory. There it is again. We watched God's divine nature emanating out of Him. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full and running over of grace and full and running over of truth. Study the book, the living Word, the life of the Lord Jesus. That's God, Creator. Now let's move on to God's omnipotence. God's omnipotence flows very naturally from the subject of creation. Romans, if you can turn there, Romans chapter 1. Omnipotence flows very naturally from the subject of creation. Obviously, creation was a display of God's power. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, we read it the other day, but let's read it again. For the invisible things of Him, the things you cannot see, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen. The invisible is made visible in the creation of the world, being understood by the things that are made. And what is this invisible thing that's being made visible? His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The creation displays God's eternal power. It shows us that He is omnipotent. That word, omnipotent, omni meaning all, and potent meaning power. All powerful. Omnipotent means all powerful. Omnipotent is a Latin word. The more English word or Saxon word you will find most of the time in the Bible is the word Almighty, but they are the same. Latin, omnipotent. English or Anglo-Saxon, Almighty. But both of them mean the same thing. All powerful. All powerful. When Jesus walked upon the earth and He was ministering to His disciples, He said, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. He was declaring the omnipotence of God. And when the angel came to Mary there, he said it this way, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Once was a positive statement of God's omnipotence. The other was a negative statement of God's omnipotence. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Which leads us to one of our definitions, omnipotent. I believe you have this one for tomorrow. It means almighty power, unlimited or infinite power. It is a word, when used in strictness, that only applies to God. It's one of those words that only God gets. It's one of those words that was made to describe a God who is all-powerful. Almighty or omnipotent, either way, Almighty is used 56 times in the Bible. Interesting point. 30 of those times are in the book of Job. Here we are back in Job again. Because that's how Job saw God. In creation. And he came up with the revelation of God in creation. God is all powerful. He is almighty. In the book of Job, 30 times. Another place where the word is dominant is in the book of Revelation, where God is displaying His power through the judgment of the peoples of this earth. It shows up there many times. But let's turn to the place of first mention.
That would be Genesis chapter 17. And here we have another one of those revelations. God is revealing Himself to Abraham. God is telling Abraham something that is true about Himself. In Genesis 17, verse 1. And let's just look a little bit at the context here before we read it. Abraham is 99 years old. Okay? I mean, God knows how to teach on the teachable moment. Abraham is 99 years old. And he has a promise beating in his breast that God gave to him that out of his loins he would give him a son. And that son and the sons of that son would be a powerful influence on the earth. Abraham had that beating in his breast, but here he is, 99 years old. What kind of revelation of God does Abraham need? He needs to find out that God is omnipotent. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. I am omnipotent. I am full of power. I am power. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, and we're not going to go any further because we don't want to focus on the covenant. But I want you to see there, God is revealing to Abraham at a time of distress. And though we don't like distresses, I would have to say, as I look back over my 33 and almost 34 years of being a Christian, that in times of distress and great trouble, when I fell on my face in despair and didn't know what else to do, it was in those times that God, by His Spirit through His Word, revealed another beautiful side of the diamond of His character to me. And that became encouragement and comfort to me, just like it was to Abraham. Oh, yes, Lord, okay. Since You are all powerful, then I will hope against hope, and not considering the deadness of my own body, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, but I will hope against hope and believe that You are well able to raise up seed out of this dead body of mine that's 99 years old. Omnipotent. God Almighty. Psalm 91 verse 1 through 3 says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of what? The Almighty. I mean, you can't find a safer place than that anywhere. Under the shadow of the Almighty. And again, this promise, it's for real life situations. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Why? Because He is the omnipotent one. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And the psalm goes on, filled with beautiful promises of protection from God omnipotent, almighty. Psalm 62:11 says, God, David said these words, God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power, omnipotence, belongeth unto God. That's what David is. He's giving his testimony. God has spoken to me twice. In my life, God has spoken to me twice, David says. I have got a revelation from God twice in my life. That power belongeth unto God. We don't know when that was. Maybe it was when he was standing before Goliath. Maybe it was the night before he stood before Goliath that God gave him a revelation of his omnipotence, that he was able to stand there in front of that giant and think, okay, you big fella, so you think you're going to shoot off your mouth about what you're going to do? I'm standing here underneath the wings of the omnipotent God of the universe. Maybe it was then, I don't know. There were several times when he needed God's omnipotence in his life. But what about you? God is not just omnipotent because he made all of this. He's omnipotent to you and I. He hasn't changed. God is the summation of all power. All power. Take the atom bomb. Take all the atom bombs. Take all the nuclear plants. Take all the power of all the tsunamis. And all the power of the most 10 powerful, the 10 most powerful men in the world. And add all that up together, and it doesn't even come close to the power of the Almighty God. It doesn't even come close. Because God is the summation of all of that power. All of it. If there is any power, if there is any energy in anything, it all came from God. All of it. God is absolute, incomprehensible power. Not only did He create it all, He holds it all together this very moment. By Him, all things consist. And again, in Hebrews 1, He holds all things together by the word of His power. You know, the scientists, they're pretty excited. You know, they figured how to take one of these little atoms and split it in two. Oh my, aren't we smart? We figured out how to split one of these atoms. And wow, look what happens when you split those atoms. Look at the bomb and look at the destruction of it. Listen to me, you scientists. Do you not know who God is? The God who made those atoms can split every one of them at the same time and dissolve the whole world in a moment. He can do it. He can split them all. Oh, if they could only see who God is, it would change their perspective on all their scientific experiments and investigations. And by the way, I don't believe this world will be destroyed by a nuclear war. God needs no help from the little man to take care of this earth. When He wants to destroy it, He won't use man's little feeble atom bomb. He can speak, and in a moment the whole thing will be dissolved with a great noise. The Bible says in 2 Peter, with a great noise. God does not have power. He is power. There's a difference. He doesn't have power. He is power. It is His very essence. Though He gives it, and He does. He gives it and He gives it. He never runs out. God delegates His power. He gives it out. Yet, He never runs out. He's inexhaustible power. You see, brother, you're using too many big words. Well, we'll get to some of those on Friday. But for now, stay with me. He is inexhaustible power. You can take and take and take and take and take, and He hasn't run out. He still has as much as He had before. Because power was not given to Him so that He could give to someone else. He is power. There's a difference. The sun is a weak illustration, but still a good one. 6,000 years and it still burns on.
sending out its beautiful rays down here to this earth and out into space in every direction. For 6,000 years it's there and it just keeps on giving and giving and giving. It's a weak illustration, but it's an illustration. All we have is created things to try to illustrate what our Creator is like. God's power gives activity to many of the other perfections of God. If we do not understand this one, we will not understand many of the others. What good is mercy if there's no power to relieve the afflicted? What good is justice if there's no power to punish the wicked? What good are promises if there is no power to accomplish them? God's power gives activity to many of the other perfections. At times we see God's power as dreadful. I mean, you read a few of the displays of God's power in the Word. It's dreadful. But we should remember, God's wisdom and His goodness and His mercy hold His power back from judgment. Aren't we glad God has more than one attribute? On the positive side, Ephesians 1:19 talks about the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. Now think about that. Same power, same word. All that power now, God turns around and in Christ Jesus, Paul is saying, I want you to understand the exceeding greatness of His omnipotence to usward who believe. According to His mighty power. 150 times the Holy Ghost breathed out the word power in the New Testament. For what? So we can create a world? So we can call fire down from heaven on somebody? No. It's our glorious inheritance, brethren. Power to save. Power to deliver. Power to heal. Power to sanctify you. Power to keep you in temptation. And power to bring you through the gates of glory someday. All power. God is omnipotent. Let us put our trust in Him completely and yield our lives to Him, not holding back. Why? Because the Lord omnipotent reigneth. And there's coming a day, according to Revelation, when that reigning omnipotent God is going to rule over everything. Right now, it's kind of a hidden thing. Right now, we live in a world who does not understand God, and they make a mockery of God. But yet God says to us, I am all the power you need to live however I'm asking you to live. What is your need? I will meet it. What is your problem? I have the ability to take care of it. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you would ask or think. And that word able is the word power. And that word power, by the way, in the Greek is dunamis. Dynamite! Dynamite! He is dynamite! Able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above what we would even ask or think. And many other such verses that we could read. Isaiah 40 in closing. Here, Isaiah ties the two together. And we will also, in closing, God's creative power and God's omnipotence in Isaiah 40 and verse 26 and then 28 and 29. Verse 26, God says, lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number.
He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power. Not one faileth. Speaking about the stars. Lift up your eyes and look at the stars, God says through Isaiah. Not one of them faileth. Verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord, the Omnipotent One, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Brethren, let us trust in the living God. Whatever our need is, He can meet it. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.